The Lord help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 476. Oh, the delights, the heavenly joys, the glories of the place, where Jesus sheds the brightest beams of his o'erflowing grace. Hymn 476, we'll commence singing at verse 2.
Thank you.
read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first chapter in Peter's first epistle. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O most holy God, help us now to come unto thee. Once more, Lord, we endeavour to approach. Once more, Lord, we would pray for the Holy Ghost, that he might be our teacher, the inditer, that we might know something of those groanings of the Blessed Spirit. And Lord, we pray that in our coming this night, we may so come, making our requests known, that we might be helped, Lord, to open our mouth wide, that thou mayest fill it. And we hope, Lord, that here tonight, thou wilt be pleased to look upon those souls who do sigh and groan. For, Lord, thou art not ignorant of them. They cannot be hid from thee. Thou knowest each one who inwardly in their heart do sigh out, who are longing for a portion, a living portion, who are longing for those crumbs which fall from thy table, to receive, Lord, a touch, to be helped to come near. Oh, Lord, they would come and touch thee. But thou knowest, Lord, how their hearts are full of fear and how they are prevented. We do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst so come and break the snares, the powers of the enemy. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, how masterful he is to drive souls back. How masterful he is to make souls feel themselves to be so completely unworthy that they cannot nor dare not then hope in God. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt now also show that thou art greater than the enemy, that thou indeed, Lord, dost receive sinners, and none, Lord, who seek thee shall ever be sent away empty. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that here tonight there may be those coming souls who by precious faith shall touch the hem of the garment, shall receive that virtue that flows from thee. Oh, what a virtue it is. What a heavenly virtue. What a soul-reviving virtue. Lord, we want to know it and feel it for ourselves. Oh, come now then, we beseech thee. And we hope, Lord, that here tonight there might be also the displaying of thy bowels, the bowels of thy love, thy tender mercies. May they be manifest, Lord, in the word and in the blessing thereof. Oh, that thou wilt so bless the word to some soul, to many a soul, that, Lord, they may be favoured to truly take it up, and like Ruth of old, to go to their home with vows, blessings that Boaz gave. Oh, how she rejoiced as she went. How her heart was strengthened. How her hopes were so enlarged And Lord, may it be that tonight there might be some like that who shall receive those handfuls from thyself. Oh, bless them then, and do be very gracious. And oh Lord, we pray that we may know what it is to have in our hand this evening in possession that rod that Moses was given. Oh, the rod of faith granted unto us, Lord. And by that rod, oh, may we too, oh, so pull down the blessings and receive them. Oh, hear us then. Oh, Lord, we come and will acknowledge that need we have, that thou wilt take away this, all the distracting thoughts, the worldly cares, pressing matters, those things which to us are so troubling, trying, afflictions, weaknesses. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, but that wilt thou now, Lord, appear. And oh, may it please thee, Lord, to give this evening a measure of grace that we may feel and perceive something now of our hearts drawn up. We would see Jesus. Oh, we would hear his voice. We would know him. And we do pray, Lord, that we may then have some heavenly token that Jesus is ours and we are his. Oh, to come, Lord, in that place that the bride of old rejoiced in, when he spake unto her, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to speak that to many a heart. Hearts which feel in themselves to be so polluted, so dark and black and vile. Lord, we long to hear that word. We long to know its power, its blessed effect, that there is no spot in us. Oh, Lord, we hope that may be our portion then. And we trust, Lord, that there are those here this evening whose heart's desire is that they too might have that portion. What thou so come, Lord, unto us then. Oh, but do remember the young children, the little ones, the older ones too. Be gracious unto them and bless them, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt put thine hand upon them. Wilt thou be their guide? Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw them to thyself. Take them up in thy arms. May they be as those lambs born there in thy bosom. Oh, do so remember them then. And when the enemy approaches, Lord, be then especially with them. And do deliver them. Remember all our aged friends. We do pray that thou wilt help them in all their needs. And thou knowest, Lord, those with many infirmities. Do remember them. Those unable to be with us, Lord, remember them and bless them. Help them too. Give renewed strength. Grant thy blessing on all means that are used. May there be, Lord, some measure of rest and peace in their soul. Oh, how we pray, Lord, that thou wilt so direct thy word into their heart. Oh, bless them then. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou remember yet Zion in her low estate. Remember thy church, thy people. Do yet, Lord, work mightily. And we do pray, O God, that thou wilt turn the captivity of Zion. Oh, may there be, Lord, yet the time when again thy people may come into thy courts with thanksgiving and praise. Oh, remember those, Lord, who are unable. And especially remember such, Lord, who cannot because of persecution. Oh, thou seest, Lord, their state. We would pray for them. We would do so with love, considering ourselves. Lord, we feel to be so unworthy of these blessings that we enjoy. Oh, we would thank thee for them, but we would pray for those that do without. Oh, remember them then. We do pray that thou be with all thy servants. Bless them too. Thou knowest, Lord, all their needs. And oh, would thou yet grant that help in the preaching of the gospel, that they may feel their own souls to be taken up, that they, O Lord, may feed upon those same truths. We thank thee for that word, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, but may our oxen be strong to labor. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to give much grace in that, and bless them then. Oh, remember each of the churches, our loved ones at Grand Rapids in their need do yet appear, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, the cries, thou knowest the longings, what thou, Lord, help, do undertake. Oh, that even now, Lord, it may be there is an answer on the way, though it does not yet appear, and may not yet for some time. But, oh, Lord, may the answer be forthcoming, a provision made, that thou, O God, wilt yet appear, raising up one that shall be unto them a teacher, a leader, or one of those appointed by God to go in and out before them. Help them then. And we do pray, Lord, that thou remember yet also the friends in Shoto, Chilliwack, and other places, each of them too, Lord, in their need. Do encourage them and strengthen them. So we come, Lord, casting our many cares upon thee, and not forgetting our nation, Lord, in these solemn times, what to us seem perilous times. Lord, have mercy yet upon us. Oh, that thou wilt yet appear, Lord. May there be a measure of peace restored to the land. May our leaders be given wisdom in every matter, to deal wisely, prudently, uprightly. Help them then, and guide them. And oh, Lord, we pray that it may please thee in some way to also bless thy word, that word that we have put away, that we, Lord, have cast off. Oh, we confess it. We would repent, Lord. Oh, how we have sinned grievously in this. Do yet have mercy. And turn again, Lord, to bless thy word in our land. Oh, do then forgive now our sins. Sins, Lord, of every sort and name. Oh, Lord, thou seest, thou knowest. Oh, we plead the blood which does for sin atone. And we do ask that we might yet find mercy and grace in thy sight. We would ask that thou would accept our thank offerings for every mercy and favor. Oh, receive us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now continue by singing hymn number 243, Great Father of Glory, how rich is thy grace, what wonderful love displayed in thy face, in Jesus thy image with brightness review, and hope to be formed in that likeness anew. Hymn 243.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's gracious help, I'll direct your thoughts this evening now to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and the 4th verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Indeed, the text that we've announced is part of a whole series of precious truths that Peter is writing to the people of God. A people of God that he refers to as strangers. And such they are. They are the strangers and pilgrims in the earth. All who do walk in that path of the lowly shepherd will be found as such. And they will have to acknowledge and confess it. It won't be something that they will find offensive. It's not something that they will find to be grievous. No, they will be in the right mind. They rejoice that they are but strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Whatever great mercy, dear soul, if you are made one of those. A real stranger. Not a stranger to God. Not a stranger to the work of grace. Not a stranger to the blessings of the gospel. But a stranger in the world. You will be so if there is that work of grace in your soul whereby you will walk contrary to the world. See, that's what makes strangers to be known, isn't it? Usually in any country, the stranger is known because the difference of his language, his dress perhaps, the lack of knowledge of the ways of the country, he manifests that he's a stranger. What a sad thing if we don't manifest something of that as we journey this wilderness below. Oh, different has God made. Oh, one time you may have been so engrossed, so engaged, so overcome with all the things of the world. But has God made you a stranger to it all now? Oh, to be one of those then, to the strangers scattered. It's not just that they're strangers, but you see, they're also all apart. The Lord scatters his people around the globe. Yes, there are, and we thank God for those little places where some of them come together in his house. We should be very thankful for that. But they are really scattered. Nevertheless, they are his. And they belong to him. Oh, and Peter now would praise God. How wonderful to see when he writes here of that desire to praise Almighty God. Notice the language he speaks of. When he speaks of it, blessed be the God and Father. Blessed be God and Father. And now there are certain things that he blesses God for. One of those things is the fact that the Lord has taken a people. He refers to them as the elect according to the foreknowledge. Now Peter will praise God for the elect. You know, he wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't an apologetic of it. Peter realized that it was one of the most fundamental foundation truths, the elect of God. It is that which we hold to most emphatically, that there is an elect. And God Himself has done it. It's not that His people make themselves elect, they cannot. God has chosen them. How many stumbled at that. And how the enemy will work with it too. When he shows us something of our own state, how can God ever elect us? How can we be found amongst that elect? With a heart so wicked, nature such as so sinful. But every one of those elect, He elected from the quarry of man's fall. They had all fallen, but they were elect. And we want to especially to emphasize this because I have read in recent months again and heard how that many who hold to something of the election, but they say it's because God saw those who would choose Him. Folly. Deceit. Error. None would choose Him. Ever. Not a single one of all those elect souls that are brought to glory would have ever chosen Him had not God preceded and gone before. It was His election. And in that election, He worked that grace in the souls of such. Oh, for this the apostle now praises God and gives Him thanks. And oh, different a good thing it is when poor sinners, even still in our day, can give God thanks for that. I wonder, those of you who profess to fear God, have you ever given God thanks for the elect? Peter does here. Does he not set the example for us? Have we really ever done it? Have we praised Him for it? You might feel, well, I dare not praise Him because I cannot feel I'm one of the elect. Well, dear friend, you beg of God to show it to you, to make it manifest. Well, you see, if the Lord has elected sinners such as Manasseh, Saul of Tarsus, many others, why not you, Saul? Oh, then may God help us to really praise Him for that elect. You see, dear friend, if God had not elected sinners, there never would be a church. There wouldn't be a single soul brought to glory. It is all by the election of God. But then too, He praises God for something else here. And that's for the relationship. You and I oftentimes may read right over this. Oh, dear friend, may God help us to see it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, He blesses God because of that relationship that sinners have with Him in the Lord Jesus. Peter would never have any relationship with God if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, dear soul, neither will any of us. No one here would ever have any relationship with God if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. How vital is that relationship? You know, the Apostle Paul, he almost takes something of the same language that Peter uses here when he was writing to the church at Ephesus. That church which had known so much of God's great blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same language as Peter. You say, well, wonderful thing, you know, when God's people come to an agreement in divine truths. I say, a wonderful thing that is. Let us mark that. Study that. But all that we might be brought into the same agreement with them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, he's coming to the very same thought that Peter is in our text this evening. These blessings which God has for his people, they're not so much blessings for on earth. Oh, we thank God for the blessings he does give. But the great blessings, they're in heaven, in heavenly places. Oh, dear friend, there's yet that which is to come. Oh, you remember how dear Mr. Wood used to speak that often in a sermon. The best is yet to come. For the people of God. Oh, dear friend, what a best that will be. According as he hath chosen us in him. Same words as Peter does again. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. Oh, there is that relationship that Paul thanks God and blesses God for. Peter blesses him for. But oh, that we might yet bless him for it. And what is the end of it all? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how this title of God is manifested here in the New Testament. If you go back to the Old Testament, what was the title that God had? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But what is it in the New Testament? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's the title now of the God of Israel, of our Lord Jesus. See the change, the glorious change. The whole prospect now is opened up, and then through the Lord himself. And it's that beautiful word of here the Father, he looks at his Son. Oh, he loved his Son. And he sent his Son. Oh, the sending forth of that Son into the world. That he might, so as it were, make sure that relationship of the Father with the people. Oh, you see, dear friend, as if we might say, and I say it reverently, the Father would not trust that to any other source, not to an angel or anything else, only his Son. It was his highest desire to have that relationship with them. Now, dear friend, you'll never find the bottom of that. And you'll never get to the height of that. Why God should desire a relationship with sinners such as we. But that is what he is here in this epistle of Peter as he opens it up so beautifully. But see that relationship in the way that Peter speaks. Yes, it's God's Son, but it's our Lord. Now, oh, if we can come in there tonight. Can you say, my Lord? Can we come collectively saying, our Lord? Yes, many may call him Lord. But what does the Lord say? Ye call me Lord, but do not the things that I command. If I be a father, where is mine honor? Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, open unto us. I will answer them, I know you not. Oh, dear friend, but we want to say it in truth. And oh, is there something of that desire in your heart tonight? that he might be your Lord, our Lord. Well, this is that relationship that Peter now is so anxious to praise God for, and so desirous of. But you see, it's the same that the Lord Jesus was so desirous of. You remember on the resurrection morning when he had met with Mary Magdalene, and she drew near to embrace. His word was, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Oh, here's that relationship in and through the Lord Jesus. Oh, dear friend, may God give us by faith to see, to really understand the blessedness of it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Again, this Lord, our Lord, he is our Lord in this way. He has bought us. Oh, if we are truly one of his, he has bought us. You are bought with a price. Dear friend, that is how he becomes our Lord, when he manifests that he's bought us. If he hasn't bought us, he is not our Lord. Remember that. But oh, dear friend, may God reveal something of that to us each. Personally, it's very personal that we have been bought. And what a price he's paid. A very sacred price. But then too, he is our Lord in this. He is our head. No, can you say tonight so that he is your head? Head over all to you. You know the position the head has in the body, you dear young children and young friends. You can grasp that. You have a body, a wonderful body. But it's the head that is the crowning part of that body. Much more so is it for the body of Christ, the believers. He is that head over them all. And that way he is our Lord. But then too, he is our Lord in this sense, as the husband of the church. Oh, how wonderful to see him as Lord in that. I mentioned these things, dear friends, in opening up something of the truth of our text this evening hour, for these are most vital things, and we do need understanding in them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto that lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here then is that way by which his people come into it, a lively hope. What a beautiful word that is. We have not a dead hope. A lively hope. But now let's come to consider something of our text this evening, to an inheritance. If indeed we are begotten, if we are raised, and that word begotten means raised up, a new birth, ye must be born again. This is the begotten. The Lord coming to the grave of each of his dear people and bringing them out, begotten. Oh, the wonderful nature of that, the wonderful experience of it, when we are really begotten by God, by the Holy Ghost, unto that living hope. The word begotten speaks again of a living principle, a life within, a life we didn't have before. We all have had our natural life, but that is a life imparted, a new life that He gives unto His people. Oh, to be begotten in that way, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But dear friend, it's this word that seemed to lay hold of me in the text, to an inheritance. A blessed inheritance, a full inheritance. It's an inheritance, dear friend, that we will never divide. Many earthly inheritances have to be divided in the end, but not this one. Though multitudes of souls, an untold number of souls, will be partakers of this inheritance, but it's not divided. It can't be. It's a full, a whole, a complete inheritance. They all will receive the fullness of it. Oh, to have a glimpse of that inheritance in that way then, here tonight, to an inheritance. But what is this inheritance? Oh, different, the question begs a certain answer. What is this inheritance? And I wonder if we went around the congregation this evening and asked the different ones what they thought this inheritance would be, what many different answers we would say. But dear friend, there is only one answer. One true answer. This inheritance. An inheritance. Oh, it's Himself. Remember what the Lord said unto the tribe of Levi when the children of Israel were dividing the land of promise amongst themselves. They were chosen by lots, and each tribe received its portion. But there was one tribe who did not receive any land. That was the tribe of Levi. That tribe was very special to the Lord. And who would have thought that tribe, you remember how that Jacob spake of Levi. Levi and Simeon, they were instruments of cruelty. Oh, they were evil sources. And sources of evil. But the Lord in Levi had made a special choice. That high priestly line that He would bless them with. They would have, in essence, the portion of the firstborn. If you go back to Exodus chapter 34, the firstborn, I think it was chapter 34, where the Lord speaks of the right of the firstborn. Well, that was given to Levi. In this way, as the high priest of God, those chosen ones to bear and work in that office before Him. Oh, what a privilege they had. And what a blessing the Lord bestowed upon that tribe of Levi. But in chapter 18 of the book of Numbers, the Lord spake unto them in this way. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. Now you know, if it stopped there, how Aaron and the tribe of Levi would have been bitterly disappointed. And oh, what murmuring it might well have brought on unto God. Why do we not receive anything? Ah, says the Lord, thou shalt have neither any part, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. O Aaron, Levi, I have something far better than any land. I am thy inheritance. The other tribes, by the inheritance they received, they increased their wealth. By the land that they received, the position of that land, oh, how they would increase. What about the tribe of Levi? Oh, different. What an increase they would know. If they followed the Lord, if they obeyed His word, if they taught the people, oh, they would increase far more than all the other tribes ever could. I am thy inheritance, says the Lord. Oh, and this is the inheritance that the Lord here sets before us in this epistle of Peter tonight. Let's examine something of this inheritance a minute in himself. First of all, do not his people inherit the Trinity? Oh, different. They inherit one God, but three persons. Three glorious persons. What an inheritance they will have. Oh, we little comprehend it. But what a blessing it is, different. When the poor soul is brought to see something of his part in the Father. He has a part. He has an inheritance in him. Or something he doesn't see very quickly. But it's there for him. And then there's the part in the Son. In that work that he's accomplished. The redemption he's obtained. The righteousness that he's provided. Oh, the provisions that he has so obtained and secured for them. These are all the many inheritances that they receive in the Son. We can see that much clearer, perhaps, more than any other. But, oh, there's the inheritance of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what an inheritance is in Him. When they know something of the gracious drawings of the Holy Spirit, what an inheritance belongs to His people then. When they perceive something of light that shines into their soul by the Holy Ghost, what an inheritance they have. When they know something of the love of Christ shed abroad in their heart, that's the Holy Ghost working. What an inheritance they have. Oh, you see, when we speak of the inheritance of the Trinity then, oh, a blessed inheritance it is. And then I say, how complete, how full is that inheritance that His people will have. But, oh, have you had even a little revelation in some of these things regarding that inheritance that God has for such a sinner? Oh, you may say, well, I hope I know just a little something of those things of the Son. Oh, different, if you do, then you already have something of the Holy Ghost. And I assure you then, on the foundation of God's Word, you will come into the inheritance of the Father. Oh, that He is. Oh, then what can we say in that? Can we describe God? Can we tell what He is? Not here. The Apostle Paul, when caught up and saw God as He was, when he came back down to himself, he found that he was unable to express it in language of earth. Oh, he saw the inheritance. We then, those who are begotten of God, are begotten to an inheritance. But then, not only is it the Trinity itself, but they will come into something of that inheritance of the unity of the three in one. Again, dear friend, how little do we prize that unity. A perfect unity, a perfect oneness. One in their thought, one in their work, one in everything they accomplish, one in all the blessing that they will bestow upon these souls. Oh, the unity that then these souls will see. Oh, the inheritance they have then. What a prospect they have in heaven. To have just a glimpse of that unity of God. Oh, but again, this inheritance. Oh, think of it, dear friend, in all the gracious attributes that God has to bestow upon them. Heavenly attributes. Oh, dear friend, when He bestows upon them something of that light that He dwells in. What inheritance that will be. And to those souls who have walked the greater part of the pilgrimage here below in darkness. And remember, there are the many days of darkness. This is the general complaint. And there may be those this night, you know something of the dark. Oh, you feel it. It's the one thing that you have to say. You feel so much darkness. And you wonder if it will ever be light. When will it be light? Oh, you read that promise, at eventide it shall be light. But you can't really believe it. When the darkness seems so prevalent, the darkness seems so profoundly deep. Even you dear children, you know, sometimes when we have a very, very dark and cloudy day, it seems that the clouds must be miles thick, that the sun's rays can't get through hardly at all. It's so dark. And it may be that it lingers on for a few days, and we wonder, will the sun ever shine again? But that is how it is with the people of God. As they journey this veil of tears. Oh, but there's an inheritance of light that is awaiting them. Oh, what an entrance it will be when they enter into that light. Oh, precious light it is. How wonderful it is for the soul to see the light. This is the inheritance. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And thus so, those souls that He will bring to glory at last, they will bask in that light. Oh, this is the inheritance that they will know. Again, then they will know the inheritance of His eternal love. If they've had a sip of it here, just a touch, and that's what they will but have, really. There will be those seasons, those times, when something of that love, as it were, has entered into their soul. And oh, how they have delighted in that love. Oh, the joy that it's brought. The sweetness of it. Oh, how sweet it is. When the bride was brought to the banqueting house, the banner over her was love. Oh, for a little season, she had just a touch of heaven. And that's what it is, this old, when God visits His people with a sense of His love. But oh, what would it be to inherit the eternal love of God? Oh, then, all that love can ever give to His people will be no one. Oh, what love there is. What an inheritance to an inheritance. And then, oh, there will be the inheritance of holiness. Oh, that too is something that seems so far from them. It's something so elusive. Oh, there are times when under the Spirit's teaching and guiding and leading, they have such desires for holiness. They long for that. I say to friend, it won't last long, but you will know of seasons when you really long for holiness. You long to be like Him in that way. But oh, this is the inheritance. Where, what is that holiness? It's His holiness. And they will receive it right from Him. Oh, think of it, dear soul. It's not something that comes through an intermediary, but directly from God Himself. They're filled with it. Oh, to have that inheritance. This is the inheritance God has given to His people. Oh, what the inheritance that they will have of that wedding garment. Sweet inheritance that will be, so to be clothed in it. Never to put it off. Never to have it stained or sullied. Oh, this is the inheritance that He has for these souls. Oh, would to God that something of these things tonight might, if indeed we feel to be wanting them, but it may stir us up, draw our longings, our prayerful desires, that the Lord would give us some tokens. And you see, He does give earnest of them here below by the Holy Spirit. You know what an earnest is? It's not the full thing. It's not the completeness of it. It's but a little touch of it. Just some little revelation of it. An earnest. But oh, dear friend, when that earnest is made complete, and then, oh, they will then look up. They will be dressed in that garment. But you know how Rutherford put it so beautifully. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Oh, this is the inheritance. Oh, divine, what a prospect there is then for poor needy souls to an inheritance. Now, what about the nature of this inheritance? And we could spend the rest of this evening and the rest of our days if we really understood the fullness of that inheritance, what all is in it. But there is the nature of the inheritance. And that's brought before us here in three different things. First, incorruptible. Now, the inheritances of earth, they really are incorruptible, are corruptible. Many of them are corruptible in the way that they've been gotten. And that's true too. But even so, if there are those inheritances which were gotten right, yet oftentimes they are corrupted in the way that they are used. Oh, dear friend, what a solemn thing that is. When there is such an inheritance and it's used wrongly, it's used for carnal pleasures. It's used selfishly. That is corruptible. But not this inheritance. Oh, dear friend, there's nothing incorruptible in it. Nothing corruptible, I should say. It's incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted at all. Remember what the Lord spake in the Gospels about that treasure. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. That's the nature of earthly inheritance, earthly treasures. Oh, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, that's why the inheritances of earth, if they are corruptible, or how often they are taken away as well. Oh, but may God help us to grasp a little of this truth this evening to an inheritance incorruptible. You see, different, no thief will ever break through there and take it away from them. No moth or rust can ever corrupt it. And indeed, not one soul that's brought there can ever misuse it. Never. Oh, they are given a new nature. They are made incorruptible as well, that they can then use this incorruptible inheritance. They can enjoy it. But then secondly, to an inheritance undefiled. Now, what a beautiful word, undefiled. Oh, different, we see everything here defiled. Defiled by sin. Oh, it doesn't take long, and sin makes its mark on everything. We look at a newborn baby in all its sweet innocence, but sin makes its mark so quick. We look at a soul born again in his early days. Oh, how careful it is, how tender he is, how prayerful he is, how he watches everything. Oh, how he walks so near and so close. But sin begins to work and mark that too. Oh, the defiling nature of sin in everything here below. In the things of grace. Oh, look, when a poor sinner is blessed with a revelation of Christ, but it doesn't take long and sin mars it again. Through pride or some other way. And it's defiled to an inheritance undefiled. Oh, to think their soul, the dear people of God will never find that inheritance defiled by their sin again. There shall we see his face, and never, never sin. And there from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in to an inheritance undefiled. Oh, this is a blessed inheritance then. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in the second chapter, the second epistle, we read this, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." Oh, different. Here is that which secures that all those inherit that inheritance cannot be defiled because they're changed in the same image, to the same image. They will bear that image. Oh, says David in Psalm 17, "I shall be satisfied when I wake in thy likeness. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Oh, and this is the prospect, then, that nothing of sin can ever more defile. Oh, this is the promise here given to an inheritance that's undefiled, incorruptible, undefiled, and then that fadeth not away. Now, all the things of earth will soon fade. You know, we might build a new home, but But it doesn't take long and things on it fade. And the joy of it fades. All earthly joy fades away. But this inheritance of the saints in light will never fade. The years of eternity will not alter it one degree. The joys, you know, dear friends, look at the joys that we have of earth. Things that we once joyed in, we joy in them no more. They hold no more joy for us. We weary of them. We tire of them. But not this. Oh, to think. The inheritance that will never fade. It never loses its attraction to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Oh, see, when we think of that, this world below that is fading, Paul writing to the Hebrews speaks, we have here no continuing city. It's all fading. But we seek one that is to come. This inheritance that fadeth not away. Now lastly, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, here, that word reserved, we might say, is preserved in heaven. It's kept there. It's waiting for them. Just as much as they are waiting for that inheritance, the inheritance is waiting for them. Oh, the Lord spake unto the disciples, I go away to prepare a place for you, an inheritance. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, the inheritance, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, different blessed inheritance. Oh, to have then something of this sweet prospect and to be looking for. To feel at times something of our heart, our soul, being lifted up in anticipation and longing for it. Oh, may the Lord direct our hearts into something of this truth, and oh, may He bring a few of these things down for us in meditation and our instruction for His name's sake. In conclusion tonight, I've chosen hymn number 501. Hymn 501. For a season called to part, let us now ourselves commend to the gracious eye and heart of our ever-present friend. Hymn 501. forgive all thou hast seen and missed in our worship this night. We do pray that thou remember all the friends who remain. Be with our friends who carry on in our absence. Give unto them wisdom, direction, light, guidance. Grant them much grace. And do, Lord, bless all the means. Remember various ones afflicted. Do preserve and keep them, yet uphold and strengthen. And do now, Lord, take us each unto our homes in peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.